ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड बलि महाराज कॉन्कर्स दी हेवेनली प्लैनेट्स। टुडे वी विल बी कवरिंग टेक्स्ट 1-28। दी वर्सेस डोंट हैव परपोर्ट्स, सो वील गो ऑन रीडिंग टेक्स्ट 1। श्री राजो वाच बले पदत्रयम्। श्रीराजो वाच बले पदत्रयम् भूमे कस्माद्धरिरयाचत। भूतेश्वरः कृपणवल् लब्धार्थोऽपि बबन्धतम्। ट्रांसलेशन बाय एच डी वैंग्रेश श्रील प्रभुपाद। महाराज परीक्षित इंक्वायर्ड, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड इज द प्रोपराइटर ऑफ एवरीथिंग। व्हाई डिड ही बेग 3 पीसेस ऑफ लैंड फ्रॉम बलि महाराज लाइक अ पुअर मैन? एंड व्हेन ही गॉट द गिफ्ट फॉर विच ही हैड बेग्ड, व्हाई डिड ही नॉनदलेस अरेस्ट बलि महाराज? आई एम वेरी मच एंशियस टू नो द मिस्ट्री ऑफ दीज कॉन्ट्राडिक्शंस। सो वी विल गो ऑन रीडिंग द ट्रांसलेशंस। Shukadeva Goswami said, O king, when Bali Maharaj lost all his opulence and died in the fight, Shukracharya, a descendant of Bhrigu Muni, brought him back to life. Because of this, the great soul Bali Maharaj became a disciple of Shukracharya and began to serve him with great faith, offering everything he had. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni were very pleased with Bali Maharaj, who desired to conquer the kingdom of Indra. Therefore, after purifying him and properly bathing him according to regulative principles, they engaged him in performing the yajna known as Vishwajit. When ghee, clarified butter, was offered in the fire of sacrifice, there appeared from the fire a celestial chariot covered with gold and silk. There also appeared yellow horses like those of Indra and a flag marked with a lion, a gilded bow, two quivers of infallible arrows and celestial armor also appeared. Bali Maharaj's grandfather Prahlad Maharaj offered Bali a garland of flowers that would never fade, and Shukracharya gave him a conch shell. When Maharaj Bali had thus performed a special ritualistic ceremony advised by the Brahmanas and had received by their grace the equipment for fighting, he circumambulated the Brahmanas and offered them obeisances. He also saluted Prahlad Maharaj and offered obeisances to him. Then, after getting on the chariot given by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj, decorated with a nice garland, put protective armor on his body, equipped himself with a bow, and took up a sword and a quiver of arrows. When he sat down on the seat of the chariot, his arms decorated with golden bangles and his ears with sapphire earrings, he shone like a worshipable fire. When he assembled with his own soldiers and the demon chiefs, who were equal to him in strength, opulence, and beauty, they appeared as if they would swallow the sky and burn all directions with their vision. After thus gathering the demoniac soldiers, Bali Maharaj departed for the opulent capital of Indra. Indeed, he seemed to make the entire surface of the world tremble. King Indra's city was full of pleasing orchards and gardens, such as the Nandan garden. Because of the weight of the flowers, leaves and fruits, the branches of the eternally existing trees were bending down. The gardens were visited by pairs of chirping birds and singing bees. The entire atmosphere was celestial. Beautiful women, protected by the demigods, sported in the gardens, which had lotus ponds full of swans, cranes, chakravakas, and ducks. The city was surrounded by trenches full of Ganges water, known as Akash Ganga, and by a high wall which was the color of fire. Upon this wall were parapets for fighting. The doors were made of solid gold plates, and the gates were of excellent marble. These were linked by various public roads. The entire city had been constructed by Vishwakarma. The city was full of courtyards, wide roads, assembly houses, and not less than 100 million airplanes. The crossroads were made of pearl, and there were sitting places made of diamond and coral. Everlastingly beautiful and youthful women, who were dressed with clean garments, glittered in the city like fires with flames. They all possessed the quality of Shama. The breezes blowing in the streets of the city bore the fragrance of the flowers falling from the hair of the women of the demigods. Apsaras passed on the streets, which were covered with the white fragrant smoke of aguru incense emanating from windows with golden filigree. The city was shaded by canopies decorated with pearls, and the domes of the palaces had flags of pearl and gold. The city always resounded with the vibrations of peacocks, pigeons, and bees, and above the city flew airplanes full of beautiful women who constantly chanted auspicious songs that were very pleasing to the ear. The city was filled with the sounds of mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, flutes, and well-tuned stringed instruments, all playing in concert. There were constant dancing, and the Gandharvas sang. The combined beauty of Indrapuri defeated beauty personified. No one who was sinful, envious, violent towards other living entities, cunning, falsely proud, lusty, or greedy could enter that city. The people who lived there were all devoid of these faults. Bali Maharaj, who was the commander of numberless soldiers, gathered his soldiers outside this abode of Indra and attacked it from all directions. He sounded the conch shell given him by his spiritual master Shukracharya, thus creating a fearful situation for the women protected by Indra. Seeing Bali Maharaja's indefatigable endeavor and understanding his motive, King Indra, along with the other demigods, approached his spiritual master Brihaspati and spoke as follows: "My lord, our old enemy Bali Maharaj now has new enthusiasm, and he has obtained such astonishing power that we think that perhaps we cannot resist his prowess. No one anywhere can counteract this military arrangement of Bali's. It now appears that Bali is trying to drink up the entire universe with his mouth, lick up the 10 directions with his tongue, and raise fire in every direction with his eyes. Indeed, he has arisen like the annihilating fire known as Samvartaka. Kindly inform me, what is the cause for Bali Maharaj's strength, endeavor, and victory? How has he become so enthusiastic?" Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, said, "O Indra, I know the cause of your enemies becoming so powerful. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased by Bali Maharaj, their disciple, endowed him with such extraordinary power." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, informed Indra, "Ordinarily, Bali and his forces could not achieve such strength. But it appears that the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, endowed him with this spiritual power." In other words, Brihaspati informed Indra that Bali Maharaj's prowess was not his own, but that of his exalted Guru Shukracharya. We sing in our daily prayers, "Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi." By the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, "Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Kariya Aikya Arana Kariha Mane Asha." Especially for spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master. By the parampara system, one can thus be endowed with the original spiritual power coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsayo viduhu. Vandeham Shri Guru. Hare Krishna. It's a surprise for me. I mean, today morning, when Hare Krishna Prabhu was telling me that please, there is no one who is there to can give Bhagavatam class today more. I was thinking everyone has gone to Pune. But I see so many of my exalted senior God brothers seated in the audience. I beg your blessings that I may be able to speak something on this topic, of which, to be very frank, I have no realization. So this topic of which Prabhupada mentions, he emphasizes in the purport, this is a recurring theme which we see in the Bhagavatam, right from the first canto onwards. Right from the first canto, we see this recurring theme where devotees or individuals who have served their spiritual master or served Vaishnavas and pleased them, how their progress to on the path back to Godhead, how it has become much more easier, much more faster. In the first canto, one of the first incidents which comes to mind is about Narad Muni. Narad Muni was born as the son of a maid servant, but because of the opportunity which he got as a small boy to serve the Bhakti Vedantists, to serve them, and he got the opportunity to hear from them, and also he received their remnants. As a result of this, in his next life, he was born as Narad Muni. And Narad Muni, as we know, is one of the very close associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Always going in all the planetary systems, Narad Muni Bajaya Bina Radhika Ramana Name, always sings the glories of the Lord wherever he goes. So first one of these examples, and then again we have the example of Vyasadeva, the compiler of all the Vedic literatures, four Vedas, the Puranas, Upanishads, everything he has compiled, put down in the written form. And then after all that, he has composed the Vedanta Sutra. And after composing that, he is still morose. I mean, he doesn't feel a sense of fulfillment. He is feeling that something is lacking, he can't point it out. But still, the volume of work or the volume of literature which he has brought out is really immense. It's not a small task. You know, we know when, like, even yesterday, the email from His Grace Dravid Prabhu was there. He keeps writing in the PAMO, he starts sending reminder for Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, he starts sending reminders. Okay, the Vyas Puja book is being printed, so please send your Vyas Puja offerings. He starts it 3 months in advance, and he first send mail. Then when 1 month is over, then he will send, now only 2 months are remaining, please send your Vyas Puja offerings. And then when 1 month is remaining again, so yesterday I just read that. So considering when we have to write Vyas Puja offerings for Prabhupada or for our spiritual master, I mean, it is such a mammoth effort, at least personally for me, to write just one page, which is actually, which means something. Not that, you know, just we are trying to blow some hot air or just make up something. We cannot do that with our spiritual master. So it has to be something which has to be sincere. And Vyasadeva, he has compiled a substantial amount of Vedic literatures, put it down in writing. And after all that, his spiritual master Narad Muni, he comes and tells him that what you have done is insignificant. It is practically useless. So even if, that shows the caliber of Vyasadeva as a disciple. That when his spiritual master is saying that whatever you have compiled from, even if you just try to bring all the literatures in the printed format and, stack it here, this entire Vyasasan will be filled with all those literatures. And it will overflow, actually. So, just the physical volume of that, the literature which was composed by Vyasadeva, that itself was massive. And it was like the final word, the final word was the Vedanta Sutra. And even after that, his spiritual master was telling him, what you have composed is insignificant, practically useless. Why? Because you have not glorified the activities, glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead sufficiently in all these literatures. Through all these writings, you have not done the one thing which is going to be of some use to all the generations of population to come on this planet Earth. And that is the glorification and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. You have not done that. All these other things and so many other facts and facts, figures and details which you have mentioned, that's all okay. But practically, for the people of Kali Yuga, the advancing, approaching age of Kali Yuga, this is not practically useful. So what you have to do is, you do this. You write, put down the glorification, put down the pastimes, you should compose that. So as a natural commentary to Vedanta Sutra, Vyasadeva, he writes the Srimad Bhagavatam in a humble mood. He accepts the instruction, and that instruction is received only when the spiritual master also knows that this disciple is capable of taking such instruction. Otherwise, if there was a disciple of any lesser caliber, then it would be a completely different story. So these are so many instructive pastimes which you have in the scriptures, where subservience to the spiritual master is, that cuts across any material impediments that might be there. Materially, a person might be so many impediments. But still, if the devotee is properly situated in his service to the spiritual master and to the Vaishnavas, then by their mercy, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Yasya Prasadat, by their mercy, Bhagavat Prasado, we can get the mercy of the Lord. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beach. Only if you get the mercy of Guru, then you get the mercy of Krishna. And to get the mercy of Krishna initially, but without mercy of Guru, you won't get the mercy of Krishna. And a very classic pastime in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to South India. Very classic, I am sure all of you all know this. But if you just try to look at it more deeply, this particular Brahmana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees one Brahmana in the Srirangam. He is trying to read Bhagavad Gita. He is trying very hard. It is very difficult for him to read Bhagavad Gita, the Sanskrit verses. And the local expert Brahmanas who are expert in Sanskrit and who can pronounce the Sanskrit shlokas very eloquently, they are making fun of this Brahmana. And even though they are making fun of him, they are ridiculing him, still this Brahmana is just, he just goes on, he keeps at it. He is like the butt of their jokes. But still, he is completely oblivious to all that is happening, except he is completely focused on trying to read what the verse is, what the shlokas are written in the book. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes closer, he sees that this particular Brahmana, he is having a lot of difficulty in trying to pronounce. At the same time, there is so much external disturbance in terms of others trying to make fun of him. But still, tears of ecstasy are pouring out of the eyes of this Brahmana. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of curiosity, asks him, what is it that you are finding in this particular book that is making you, you know, making such rivers of tears flow out of your eyes? What is that? What is the nectar that you are reading? So this Brahmana very humbly, he admits that actually I am not a very highly learned Brahman. I am not so learned in Sanskrit grammar or Sanskrit even. I am not even able to pronounce these shlokas in a very eloquent way. I just, in my broken way, I just try to somehow read these shlokas. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, okay, then what is it that is causing so much ecstasy in you? I can see the symptoms. What is it that is causing these symptoms? Then he says, actually, I don't know so much about the shlokas, but when I see on the cover of this book, and when I read this book, and when I try to visualize that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the master of everything, not only this material universe, but even the spiritual worlds. He is the master of everything. Sarva karana karanam. He is the supreme controller. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. And still that Supreme Personality of Godhead, just because of his love to his devotee Arjun, he becomes completely sold out, and therefore he agrees to act as the charioteer for Arjuna. And charioteer is not a very exalted position, especially in the fighting, in a war, in a battlefield scenario. The person who is fighting on the chariot, he is not going to stop and say, okay, now you turn right, don't turn left. It was practically like the charioteer is sitting, and the warrior is sitting behind, charioteer is sitting in front, driving the chariot, and practically it's just by the, you know, slight kicks from the leg, practically, that right leg if you touch, then you take right, go towards right, left leg you touch, go towards left. It's like that. You know, practically Arjuna was like sort of kicking the Lord to indicate which way you have to turn. So when I try to visualize and I think about this very menial and subservient position which the Lord agrees to take for his devotee, I cannot stop these tears from flowing from my eyes when I am trying to think about this. And when the Lord sees this mood of this Brahmana, and he again says that I am only doing this because my spiritual master has instructed me to do this. I am only doing this service as a service to my spiritual master. I am trying to read this, even though I am not able to read it. I am practically illiterate. In terms of Sanskrit, knowledge in Sanskrit is there. But still I am just engaging in this service as a service towards my spiritual master, who has instructed me that I have to read this book every day. And I am trying to fulfill that instruction. So the mood, as this our society is called, it's Society of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the whole thing is based on consciousness. How much Krishna conscious we are. Like we had, Puji, what is that? what is it, Prabhuji's name, who used to stay in this room? We had Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu staying in our ashram. Our one, I think the only vanaprastha till date we have had in our ashram. And very interesting thing he would say, whenever we say that Prabhuji, I only heard, I was just a spectator then, I was not so close to him, but I have seen devotees talk to him and I have heard from devotees also. Prabhuji, your consciousness is so pure, you are so Krishna conscious in everything that you do. So he would say, he would just close his ears and say, no, I don't want to hear all this. I am not Krishna conscious. I will be grateful even if I am, to a small little extent, I am conscious of my guru. I am guru conscious. Let me be conscious of my spiritual master. What are the instructions? Let me be slightly conscious of Srila Prabhupada. How Prabhupada conscious am I? So this particular trait or quality which is displayed by a devotee, this is quality which is very, very much integral to our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta of chastity to our spiritual lineage, to our spiritual masters, and specifically chastity to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it is so important that we have to be chaste to the instructions, like this Brahmana in South India. He didn't stop to think, oh, but I am illiterate or I don't know how to read, so how do I read? So okay, since I don't know how to read, then that instruction is not valid, that I should read every day. Whatever is possible. And the instruction need not necessarily always be like directly one-to-one. Like there are so many instructions. In one of these translations we are reading that we see that the different, when Bali Maharaj pleases Shukracharya, then he gives him various, he receives, when Bali Maharaj performed this ritualistic ceremony, he received by their grace the equipment for fighting, the chariots, the bow, the conch shell, the quiver full of arrows, and all these things which he receives. Similarly, when we serve the spiritual master, not necessarily physically, not necessarily vapu seva, but even vani seva, and even Srila Prabhupada, he has given us this whole system. It is not even necessary, it is advised, but I know devotees who, even though they are not actually initiated by any spiritual master, they are waiting for spiritual initiation since so long, but still by their sincere attempts to serve the instructions received from the spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada, through his representatives, through their authorized representatives, they display such amazing spiritual qualities and such amazing spiritual advancement. Like here it is said, because Bali Maharaj performed these sacrifices, he pleased Shukracharya, he got the weapons to fight. Similarly, when we serve the spiritual master, we please the spiritual master, we are endowed with the weapons and the armor which will help us to fight against the forces of Maya and to protect us from the forces of Maya. So, this is such a crucial thing, because living in a city like Mumbai and in this Kali Yuga, which is advancing so rapidly, we can see the advances and the decay which is brought out by this age of Kali Yuga every day. So therefore, if we have to try to, as I said in one of my previous classes, What Prabhupada says, what is the main purpose of a, what is the main activity of the devotees, or main activity of devotees staying in a temple? One of the main activities is, these temples are like bases from where the soldiers are sent out to fight against the forces of Maya in this battlefield. So, if you are not properly equipped in terms of the weaponry, and if you are not properly dressed in terms of the armor that is needed, then it will be very difficult for us to go out and engage in any meaningful warfare with the forces of Maya. So therefore, in order to equip ourselves, like they say in, this is like something called reverse engineering. So if we have to go out and fight with the forces of Maya, then we have to first equip ourselves, and to equip ourselves, we have to serve the spiritual master. Not only that the proper mood would be that also, not only physical direct service, but also the instructions which come through the authorized representatives of the spiritual master. Because, I mean, Prabhupada says many places that in Vedic times, unless the spiritual master tells the disciple, he won't even eat. Unless the spiritual master receives direct instruction from his, unless the disciple receives direct instruction from his spiritual master, he cannot even eat. But in today's day and age, with the sort of society we have, it's not possible for the spiritual master to personally tell every one of his disciples in every corner of the world, okay, now it's time for you to eat, you can eat. So the whole system has been set up. Prabhupada has given us such a nice institutional setup. That was the genius of Srila Prabhupada, that he in such a beautiful manner, he institutionalized the whole spiritual process of going back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, if we examine, it's not such an easy task personally speaking for myself, if it was not, it would not have been such a good institutional setup. I don't think whether I would be going to some remote corner of the world, into some, like we read in the Journey Home book, travel halfway across the world and try to seek out a spiritual master who will show me the path to God. I mean, I don't think that would have ever happened. But this institutional setup of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which was the genius of Srila Prabhupada, how the devotees, how there would be an institution, and the institution would function in such a manner, devotees would go out, preach to other people, bring them, and like that, and after, even within the temple complex, there will be an institution of Brahmachari Ashram, where devotees who want to engage in this preaching activity in a more focused manner, they can stay within the temple, learn, study more, go out and preach, like that. So because of this institutional organization of this whole spiritual, whatever is given in the Shastras is nicely packaged within this institutional setup of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which makes it much more easier for at least a person like me to engage. So we have been given this opportunity where we can actually engage in the service of the Vaishnavas, the pure devotees of the Lord, and their representatives. And not necessarily physical, direct physical service. If that is available and we are in a position to do it, that is very good. But even if not direct physical service, but at least serving their words, serving their instructions, Vani Seva, bare minimum chanting 16 rounds attentively, following the four regulative principles, and trying as much as possible to engage in the four activities, the ABCD of ISKCON. That itself, bare minimum, that itself is sufficient to equip ourselves with the required weaponry and the armor to protect ourselves, as well as to go out on the offensive against the forces of Maya, and to try to do our small bit in the service of the great devotees of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, comments. Yes, Nadendra Puri Guru. I hope it's a comment.
Just had one doubt about how the Brahmanas, they supposed to be generally worshipping Vishnu. But here in this case, they are, you know, blessing Bali Maharaj to go against the devotees of Vishnu. How is that that these Brahmanas, I mean...
I'll refer you to Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Good question. I don't have an answer for it though.
For this I am not equipped.
Please. I was also thinking the same thing. But amazing thing is even Prahlad Maharaj is blessing him with his beautiful garland. Which means he as the head of the demons was doing his job perfectly. And in a bona fide way, blessings of the Brahmanas. And because of his sincerity, the same Bali asked Shukracharya, and when Shukracharya told him not to give in charity, at that time the word is used, Tushnim Babhuvaha. He became deeply introspective and contemplated on the previous great souls. And he says that, the Shastra says that Mother Earth can't, she can bear any weight but not the weight of a liar. Quotes Dadichi and so many others who gave their lives. Even life may go away, but the ultimately what remains is the legacy that they leave behind. And so in that way, because of his, it's like Vritrasura performed his duty. He was a demon, and he, as a head of the demon, he fought to the best of his ability with Indra. But practically no one understood him. But the Lord understood his intention. So, in this case, he had this little anartha of trying to be the Lord. And that was removed, and then things were clear for him. So, in that sense, he was doing his seva, what he represented, perfectly and sincerely, and that was appreciated. I mean, like, that's how I see, because he's fighting against Indra and Prahlad Maharaj is giving him a garland. You know, this is, that's what also, I was also thinking, you know, how is it Prahlad Maharaj was happy that Hiranyakashipu was killed and now he's doing this. And he was also happy when Bali Maharaj was chastised by Lord. And now he's been corrected.
Thank you, Guru. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai. Yeah.